Question Mark and the Mysterians. 96 tiers. Well, I don't know, bordering on the sadomasochistic. Well, perhaps not. Not on the midweek drive. It certainly won't be. We're delighted now to be able to welcome back to the show ace cosplayer and general all-round fine soul, it's Gwyneth Griffiths. Yay, Gwyneth!
Hello! Hello!
And of course, Gwyneth, as we said, you were there at the same time as we met in person for the first time, the legend that was Sam Stone at DigiCon. And since then, of course, you've both become regular contributors. In fact, Sam's got her very own show called The Stone Tapes. It comes out every month on Sound 107.3 FM, episode 4, of course, being recorded later on today. What excitement! With, of course, Patricia J. H. Ash. And exactly.
Pick a letter.
And David J. Howe, to name but two, as well as in this coming edition, Lady Elsie and Major Tinker, and on the phone, Herr Doctor.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Is it safe? Gwyneth.
We hope not.
How's life? How is life in the cosplay world of Newcastle and beyond? And are you taking that challenge as stated by Kev Barnes on your Facebook routine of going Black Widow-esque?
Yeah, well, it's been very busy. It's always busy in July, August is peak time for conventions and cosplay, so very busy. And yes, now, a lot of Black Widow.
You're clearly all set for Suicide Squad, because we see Harley Quinn in full force there. I think Eva will have to come around to the other side just to see these.
We are stalking your Facebook. We are stalking your Facebook as we speak. It's hilarious.
You look amazing.
It's the whole thing.
Oh, my word.
The coat with the Dalek there, cheeky Dalek. Well, with a sink plunger that size, what can you expect? But still working through that, and indeed Hartley with a big sausage. Yes,
oh my word.
Harley Quinn, honestly, doing her own. So, I mean, has this become your new favourite? Because I always felt, you know, you were more Black Widow-esque or fine sort of stuff. But Harley Quinn certainly seems to have emerged in your routine. Although we've just moved on to the Catwoman and indeed a whole range of other sort of top souls. So, do you have a favourite cosplay character?
Probably Black Widow. It's just Harley Quinn's been fun for now. Just something different. It's went down very well at conventions. So
exactly. And not surprising, given, of course, that Suicide Squad is coming through in the very near future.
Yes, next year.
Exactly. Well, I think with that, we're talking possibly, we might do a feature next week about heading off to Blackpool to check out what's happening there. The Illuminations, of course, being switched on this year by Tim Burton.
Oh, wow.
Tim Burton is switching on the Blackpool Illuminations. Wow. How his career's collapsed. But anyway.
Shouldn't he be switching on the Burton Illuminations?
No, we loved your reimagining of Planet of the Apes, honestly. At least it was better than Fantastic Four. Don't get me all Idina Menzel about the whole thing. Have you seen it, by the way, Gwyneth? Have you seen that apocalypse of a movie?
I haven't. I've heard such bad things. I'm kind of not wanting to see it.
You could cosplay the Invisible Woman and just not turn up.
Oh, please. it's just not working in every sense of the word there. But, I mean, clearly, in terms of the sort of stuff that you're actually doing there, a great scenario there. Christy, are you a cosplayer person?
I'm not, but I am quite curious about cosplay. Have you ever seen anybody cosplay a mermaid before?
Nice one.
Yeah, plenty. Especially, obviously, Ariel.
Wow.
Ariel. But Ariel is not the serious adult mermaid that, of course, Christy, you've written about in your latest text, which is...
The Kiss That Killed Me.
Yay. The Kiss That Killed Me.
Which is a great title. Really good.
The current sort of sequence of cosplayers, I think, should probably be what your graduation outfit should look like in a couple of weeks' time, Christy. So exactly. Spike in full force.
We've met Spike. He's good.
Do we know his real name, or is he just the person otherwise known as Spike?
I have to go look in my Facebook. I've forgotten it now.
There we are. Well, whilst you're doing that...
Oh, no, Sam's on social media. That's it. We've lost her for the rest of the show.
We're going to invite Gwyneth to step into what had been the Arthur Weingarten critical role and have a listen to the Drive Time Disc of the Week. Now, I hesitate to say this because you might well say, yes, Drive Time Disc of the Week... Bars and Melody are the team. I'll give you the publicity. Bars and Melody are Leandre Devries, 14, already not good. Boy, age 14, can be very messy. Charlie Lenehan, age 16, equal problem. Two musicians from the UK that infuse hip-hop, R&B and pop.
Okay.
Infuse it with what?
Good point, Patricia. Very good point. Infuse it with what?
Pure talent.
Socratic questioning,
I
that
hope
is.
So.
Pure talent.
The band shot to fame in 2014 when they appeared on TV show Britain's Got Talent. Simon Cowell.
Him as well. All three of them.
Pressed his golden buzzer for them. I was taken by Simon Cowell pressing his golden buzzer. And the video on YouTube has apparently now had over 64 million views.
Is that more people than there are in the world?
Exactly. Are you ready, Gwyneth and team, for bars and melody with Beautiful?
Girding my loins. Go on.
Was that a YI from Newcastle?
That was a YI. Bring it on.
Our music expert Ed Wellman has said, I don't know about that. I don't know about it. Part of saying that it makes Anton Dex, Let's Get Ready to Rumble, PJ and Duncan, of course, light years ahead by a comparison. Gwyneth, Beautiful, bars and melody?
It's not too bad.
She says, because she's a kind soul, you know. Used to be Gwyneth Griffiths, now Gwyneth Flanagan. You know, it's way forward, you do. David J. Howe? Patricia Hottie Ash.
Highly okay, I would say. It's called Beautiful. I did not understand a word they were saying.
No.
It could be
subtitles,
anything,
obviously.
Really.
Eva McDonald.
I'd say the same. I couldn't really understand what they were saying. It was
Mumbles. Christy Bond?
I can just see them at their, you know, latest concert. Sorry, Bars Melody couldn't be here tonight. They had homework to do.
Sam Stone?
I'm not much of a fan of rap, to be honest. I had to say that very carefully because I usually put a C in the front of that. But no, it wasn't beautiful for me at all.
Well, since the start of 2015, the guys have been busy putting the finishing touches to their debut album, which they will release later in 2015 worldwide. March and April saw the band perform on a sold-out headline tour in the UK. I don't think they made Lincoln. They also played at the We Day event in Wembley and Seattle in the US. It's not going to help US relations with the British Isles.
I mean, the only thing I'd add, Alex, is that it sounds very much like an awful lot of that sort of music.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that with no disrespect, because that sort of music is very popular and it has an awful lot of fans. So I think if they are hooking into something which is very popular and they're doing it in a way that is very similar to the American groups and all of that kind of thing, I'm kind of not surprised that they get kind of set out tours. And you mentioned, Christy, that the girls love them, and this doesn't really surprise me. I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but, you know, all power to them, really. You know, found something they want to do, they can go and do it. Hey, go
they
do it.
They seem to be doing well.
They're doing well. Fantastic. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
Steady on. You'll
and
be
I
asking.
Gonna, I was going to add to that as well that I, because, you know, obviously we respect music, musicians and creativity, we wish everybody good luck.
That's why we shan't be playing bars and David ever again. From these cold but anyway, sorry, bars and melody. For a moment, David, I thought you were joining the group. You know, bars and melody and David.
And David.
What are you, the chef?
I play triangle. I do triangle.
When's your next convention, Gwyneth Flanagan? Where can we next catch you in full costume outfits and such like?
Will be the 30th of August at York Comic Con.
Oh, right.
Anyone in the Yorkshire area should be good.
And who are you going to be?
Black Widow.
And tonight, David, I'm going to be...
Bars and Melody.
Bars and Melody. You're going to be Black Widow.
Very good. That's your Comic-Con, 30th of August. That hadn't sort of emerged on our radar. I must actually have a check about that.
Yeah.
Of course, well, only 2 days after a sensational event that's taking place in the White Hart Hotel in Lincoln. Actually, is it the 30th. In fact, it's the 30th of August where, in fact, Sam, you're performing with me. And
yes,
the team.
That's yes. Right. At 4 p.m. at the White Hart.
Exactly. Sunday, August the 30th,
yes.
In Lincoln. I'll be chairing, as opposed to the chair, because mm-hmm. I don't like to be sat on. This is a funny thing.
No, I wouldn't either.
Well, exactly. Sam, George Mann, fresh from his writing The War Doctor. That's not, of course, this is a John Hurt thing, as opposed to a Geordie attempt at War
yes.
Doctor pet. easily confused, and I don't think I've used that in the industry.
Me now.
Exactly. And all sorts of wonderful things, because it's Steampunk Weekend in Lincoln.
It is. And Alex, can I just get in a little extra plug there as well? I have my book signing, launching my new Cat Lightfoot Steampunk Mysteries at 1 o'clock at Linden Books.
Exactly.
So between 1 and 2, I'll be there signing books, and the book's called Cat on a Hot. No, it's not.
It's
called Cat of Green Tentacles. So if you like Cthulhu, you might like this one as well.
And if you like Cat on a Hot Tin Airship and the Cat Lightfoot
right.
routines, yes. This is even more wonderful. In fact, I want to see. This is your challenge, Gwyneth. I'd like you to actually cosplay, seek out your inner cosplay person, and channel the Cat Lightfoot in your good self. I think you'd make it.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Well, you need a cat
light.
So,
cat Lightfoot.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Patricia's excellent Cat Lightfoot. There we are. Sorted.
I love that series. It's amazing. I can't wait to read the next one and review it from my blog.
Yeah.
And in case you're wondering, Gwyneth, Patricia H. Asher's blog is Gearheart Steampunk Review Magazine. That's
gearheartsmag.com.
Gearheartsmag.com.
That's where my blog is.
So there we are. So that's your homework set, Gwyneth. and David's going to ask you those last two questions.
So, Gwyneth, have you had a reasonably exciting time with us this afternoon and evening?
It's been good. It's been a good laugh.
Fantastic. And
Bars and Melody. A good
and
laugh.
Bars and Melody.
the next question is, and will you or one of your alter egos be rejoining us to talk cosplay at some future
Hopefully.
Date?
Yeah, definitely.
I think that'll happen.
Fantastic.
There was a man, walked like a fool, blind to himself, and nothing blind to you. And all his faults on your shoulders grew. You could be just like, you could be just like him. To my love, let him fall through you. You're blind, blind like a fool.
Tell you, Ipswich Community Church will not know what hits them when Blind Like a Fool's very own performer, Tallulah Randall, actually performs there. Isn't that right, Liz Brewer?
Absolutely. I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, I know this song, I know this song. Then I realise it's my daughter.
There we are. You see, this is the whole thing. Not only, Liz, were you the sort of celebrity genius who introduced the discotheque to Portugal for the first time. Back in the
Absolutely.
1970s, but you also have a fabulously talented daughter, Tallulah Randall, and we've got two fabulously talented mothers around, because not only have we got yourself, we've got Sam Stone, who's in the studio with us now, and we were playing one of Sam's daughters, Lindsay Gold's tunes earlier. We'll play another one in a few seconds, because I just thought, even though I never sort of shared you both on the same sort of production, there's a lot of interesting connections between Lindsay and Tallulah, even though they've never actually met
really?
Us yet.
How interesting.
Well,
she's got a gorgeous voice, Liz.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Lovely track.
Thank you.
It's genuinely wonderful. Anyway, Liz, you've been heading across the globe like a proverbial whirling dervish. We have to ask you, first and foremost, how was Berlin and how was Miss England?
But well, from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Yeah.
Berlin was frustrating because I'm still trying to get builders to do actually what I want. And, well, you know what it's like.
Do they say
builders.
The German equivalent of, you've had some cowboys in here, mein Damen?
Well, fortunately, I haven't let them in yet. But Miss England was utterly amazing. And I was thrilled to be a judge. I mean, I really was. I did do it about 10 years ago, but slightly on a less sort of level. And but also, to my surprise, I was also I also did Mr. England as well. Yes, that was an even bigger surprise. It's not as big as Miss England, but it was just as fun, I can assure you.
Well, in the studio we have with young Eva MacDonald, a young lady who not only has a tremendous success in her A-levels recently, but somebody who is going to be in the finals of Miss Teen Great Britain.
Oh, God, how wonderful.
And Eva, have you got your sash this evening?
I might do.
Oh, it's very, very important. Because, Eva, you've reached this sort of stage and you've got the opportunity now to ask Liz, what does she look for with, say, Miss Teen Great Britain? You know, it could be critical. I mean, if she's done Miss England successfully, she's done Mr. England. So, you know, Miss Teen Great Britain, I'm sure you could actually turn your wonderful skills, Liz, to advice for Eva MacDonald.
Delighted, absolutely. Did you want to ask the question or shall I just branch in?
Eva, ask some questions.
Hello. What do you sort of look out for in contests like these?
Okay, first and foremost, you look for eye contact. Eye contact and the smile. Big, big smile. And then I think, unfortunately, it is confidence. You want somebody, because after all, you're representing Great Britain. You've got to have a certain amount of stature and confidence, and you've got to have a message. You've got to know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and what good you're going to put it to. Everybody wants to know, well, what are you going to do when you win? And a lot of the girls that I judged for Miss England, they were amazing. They were sportswomen, they were businesswomen, they were PRs. And in each category, we actually selected a winner, 7 categories we did. And that covered all these various things. And it was fascinating, imagination, and also the way they, but very much the way they presented themselves.
I can imagine. I think I saw it on Facebook, actually, the Mr. England and Miss England advert.
There's been quite a bit of it, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's all over my page, so...
Yeah, well, give me your Facebook, your name, and I'll send you a link, because they filmed it. They well and truly filmed it, and it's gone to 3.5 million viewers in Bulgaria, has also been shown in Russia, which is quite interesting. And they did do an amazing production of this film.
Now, Liz, we're currently looking at some of the images on your Facebook page of lots of red balloons. In fact, there might be 99 red balloons going up there. But I won't do a Nina thing on this particular routine, or even 99 Luftballon. So it was nice to see that Melanie Gao had the line, stunning image for the feeling it gives to look at it. Did you just, I mean, was it just a case of when you were designing this? Because not only do you coordinate the public relations, etc., Liz is the sort of person who picks up the phone to Prince Charles and gets it sorted there and then. That's basically nice, you know.
Was he in Mr. UK?
Not sure about that, but still, one does focus and decide what you want and go for it, yes.
It's tremendous. So what was the theme of the red balloons floating high into the sky there?
Everything to do with Miss England sort of had a message. They were really trying to focus on these girls being, as it were, out there, athletic, had something to say for themselves. There was also a talent contest. Two of them had the most exceptional voices. I have to tell you, though, Natasha Hemmings, who won and became Miss England, they kept one piece of information from me, because just so I wasn't biased, I suppose, but she, in fact, taught etiquette at a school, and she was giving classes. And she did these, I don't know if they were one-off or she did a series of them, but they actually did table manners and presence and how to walk. And when I spoke to her afterwards, and she said, "But didn't you know?" And I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "Well, it did flash on the screen." I said, "It may have done, but there was an awful lot of things
it
to look at."
It was subliminal.
But they didn't give me that information beforehand, as, of course, I probably would have been biased.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, Liz, you are the etiquette coach extraordinaire, your ultimate guide to party manners and etiquette. Still, it's a novel text that resonates. You know.
Well, I have to tell you, it's a very exciting piece of news, which is that the woman who owns this team TV channel in life in Bulgaria, which has these 3.5 million viewers a day. She approached me and asked if she could publish my book in Bulgarian. She did do an interview with me for her channel, and believe it or not, and I'm not just saying this, but it had 375,000 hits. So I've been working it out. If my interview got that many hits, I wonder how many books she's going to publish.
Nice. Exactly. It all slots together perfectly.
Yes. Very exciting news.
As you rightly said, honoured to be included as a judge with respect to the whole thing. Miss England now being taken to a higher level, girls judged by their contribution to the world and life in general, which makes sense, really, I think, from that point of view.
Yes. Well, those were my words, actually, because that's how that's what it appeared to me. And there were these different categories. And very clever. They even gave a prize to the girl who got the most publicity, which of course is an incentive for them to go out there and promote Miss England.
Absolutely. Liz, a few seconds we'll be scooting by. Would you like to hear a little snippet of Lindsay Gold and Through June?
I would. What a lovely idea. Mm.
Tempted to say that's my favourite Lindsay Gold track.
Lovely, yeah. Lindsay Gold, that's very good. Now you can explain what the similarity is.
Well, it's an interesting line. I mean, Sam, would you like to just share how Lindsay effectively sort of started off in the wonderful world of the business of show?
Did you crowdfund? We have done some crowdfunding. Originally, on Boxing Day last year, she was at a party with us, and I don't know if you know the drummer of The Marmalade, a man called Alan Whitehead happened to be there, and
yes.
We persuaded Lindsay to sing for him and for everybody there, which she did a cappella, and she was singing all sorts of Kate Bush stuff and anything that came to her head, to be honest. And then after about half an hour, people were throwing songs at her. Can you sing this? Do you know that? And it turned into a whole recital. And at the end, Alan said, I'd like to represent her. So she literally got a manager just by that. It was the weirdest thing. Within about a week, she was writing her own songs, and that was one of them. Through June is a new one, but she likes to write songs that are based on things that inspire her. Through June was loosely inspired by a Tanith Lee novel called Biting the Sun.
The late, great Tanith Lee, of course, ace author who sadly passed away and is probably having a chat with Cilla Black even as we speak up in Heaven FM when they're not commenting on a variety of other things. Liz, it's been fabulous as ever, touching base with your good self. Christy, would you like to put those last two questions to our etiquette expert and general all-round wonderful soul that is Liz Brewer?
Have you had a wonderful telephonic link with us this week?
I have. Thank you very much indeed. I have. I always have a good time with you.
And will you be returning again?
If I must, I'd be delighted.
Of course. We should really hook up in Ipswich for Tallulah's next gig, actually. But all's well with the world. We wrapped up with this little sequence before when we did the tribute to Cilla Black, of course, a couple of weeks ago.
It's actually her memorial service tomorrow.
Well, I was thinking about that. So, choice between Alfie, Conversations, If I Thought You'd Ever Change Your Mind, Step Inside, Love, or Anyone Who Had a Heart. What would you like to go for, Liz, as you
Anyone who had a heart.
I thought you'd actually go for that.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. A round of applause for Liz Burrow, please.
Thank you.
Anyone who ever loved could look at me and know that I love you. Anyone who ever dreamed.
To many people, the letters E.T. signify phoning home, early Drew Barrymore, or cycling over the moon. For Midweek Drive aficionados, E.T. will always be the Surrey legend that is Emma Tinson. Who wrote this? I didn't write this. I'm American. ET stands for Entertainment Tonight. Nevertheless, Emma Tinson is all sorts of awesome.
And Phil Leonis will be with us shortly, but Emma, we need to squeeze you in as well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you all doing in the studio?
Hi, Emma.
Pretty good.
Hello.
They're still alive, Emma. That's the important thing. They haven't started eating each other. It's all great stuff, you know. It's marvellous.
I know, because I was thinking you've got so many of you in there today.
Well, thankfully, our Sound and Nick's Vision team had to head off, so the possibility of having eight at one stage is there. So we have a Fantastic Five, which is wonderful. And I know, Emma, you share your thoughts about Fantastic Four with me, but anyway, go and see The Man from U.N.C.L.E., much better, if you haven't already been to do that. Okay, just prepping the way before we join Phil Dearness, what have you made of the show so far, Emma Tinson?
I think it's been a fantastic show, and you've managed to squeeze a lot in, so I'm very impressed. But yeah, it's been lovely. I think I have to say, and I'm not just sucking up, I have to say, having two editions of Lindsay Gold was very nice today.
Thank you, Emma.
There we are.
Do you have a favourite out of either of those two? Because we've all been discussing that.
I'm not sure. I can't decide. I mean, she's got such a powerful voice on both, so I'm not sure.
You listen to them a bit more and they become an earworm after a while.
Undecided. It'll work perfectly in its own unique way. And any other little highlights you want to draw to the listeners' attention for when they obviously download the whole programme from a podcast Zones?
I think another favourite part of mine was listening to Gwyneth talk about her cosplays, because I'm very interested in that. I don't think I'm quite as brave as her, but I find it fantastic that she can do all of those sort of costumes and things.
Sitting outside the studio now, and they'll be joining us for the Stone Tapes episode 4, I do believe we have Lady Elsie and Major Tinker.
Oh, yes.
We have indeed.
Oh, my word.
Oh, yes.
We have indeed.
Yes. Cosplays for steampunk, you know, which is all there. Has Herr Doctor arrived as yet?
He's on the phone.
He's going to be.
Of course he is.
He's in his lair. He wouldn't come out.
Stroking a white cat,
yes,
no doubt.
Absolutely.
In their own sort of way. It's brilliant. And the good news is Emma will be back in full force with the Midweek Drive. It was suggested, actually, on Sound and Next Vision that Emma had actually graduated. I said, well, she's pretty good, but doing a full 3-year degree in 2 years, it's not going to happen, you know, it's unlikely, you know.
Nearly, so. One more year to go, you know.
Another year of the Midweek Drive. And good news, because tomorrow morning we're also going to be joined by Jessica Ward, who's still alive in the Isle of Man, and will be updating us around about 9:15. So you can comment on that as well as we sign up for all sorts of other bits and pieces. I know we could speak for another 10 or 15 minutes, Emma, but then Phil Dearness would have no point whatsoever in the fact that he's going to be connecting with us from downtown Hollywood.
He does need a big slot, doesn't he? He talks for a long time. So. I think I'm already cutting into his time. So,
can you cut that bit out?
She tells it like it is. That's why she's the Surrey legend.
It is.
So last two questions for Emma. Patricia.
So have you had a fantastic telephonic link with us today?
I have very much so.
Fantastic. And will you be back?
Of course I will.
Yay!
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Could almost be written for people who are setting up home in Australia and dealing with crazy kangaroos. Or maybe not.
Bond. Christie Bond. Not so much a first-class honours English graduate as a force of writing nature and a passionate supporter of rights for mermaids.
And that's why she's a regular on the Midweek Drive. Isn't that right, Phil Dearness?
Sure. And by all means, when, you know, you've cut into my time so severely, please play more of my introductions for people. And if you can, play the extended remixes of my introductions.
We Hello, knew you'd Phil. Appreciate it. Anyway, welcome back to the show, Herr Leonismeister, because he could only another phrase be Herr Doktor
he
in this
could.
Day. I'm fascinated by that. A reminder in case...
You can trust me, I am the doctor. You know, I'm sitting at the exact same place where I had a very nice time conversing with a couple of your co-presenters about a certain doctor in the historic core of downtown Los Angeles.
That'll be Patricia and Christy. No, only kidding. It's Sam and David. Yes.
I remember it well.
I remember it very well, yes.
It was a great day.
Yes, it really was.
There we are.
It
really was.
Like we're about to go into a musical interlude. I wore grey. No, you wore blue. Ah, yes, I remember it well.
Ah, yes. What a ball. Let us move on to wish somebody else a happy birthday, because we wished Joe Leah Tilbury a happy birthday. Also, our SFX editor, USA editor, Tara Bennett, has been celebrating her birthday as well. So happy birthday, Tara, after three.
Happy birthday, Tara!
Sorry, yes. Phil. All right, the show is now yours, Phil. You've got 900 seconds to fill with as you wish.
It's mine. I have so much to get to. You know, it was exciting to hear Cameron this morning and to realize, finally, I have plans to visit Nashville. So I'm going to, he may have hoped that I've forgotten this, but to take him up on his invitation to show me around Nashville. That's going to be very exciting. You know, I was struck by how good the second of the Lindsey Gold selections was. Someone said that it might have been their favorite of Lindsey's songs, but I was struck by the bookend of, you know, Lindsey and Mo Pitney earlier in the show, and you know, I just find, I don't want it to sound condescending at all, but I actually find it really inspirational that music this good is coming from people this young, because it's very easy, heck, it's even easy for me to fall into it, but it's very easy for entire generations to fall into this, woe is us, art is dead, culture is dead, bookstores are gone, adverbs are no longer used, what will become of us culturally? And then you hear this, and not only is the quality of it terrific, but what's so inspiring is the way that they do connect with their antecedents in the music business. Mm-hmm. They're connecting deeply. They're not just trying on the surface level to appeal to what will sell right now. They're trying to engage in this ongoing conversation of expressing what it means to be human musically. So what is not to be inspired about where the future is concerned, I ask you?
Yeah,
agreed. Well observed, Phil.
Well, it's almost... I think he's actually sort of angling to take over the Mike Dooley slot in terms of inspirational chats at the end of the show. I noticed this on Chilpack Hollywood, that he's starting off with various... But it's good. It's good. We appreciate it. And
is there any way that you can... is there any way you can check in with Emma Tinton right now to make sure that wasn't too wordy or too...
Now, Phil, you know she loves your baby.
When I speak of youth that get me down about the future, well, we need look no further than the Surrey legend. Anyway.
Oh, poor Emma. Oh, she'll be crying into her tea now.
You know, if we discussed, I'm sure you did with the Arthur Weingarten, and that's when I had to go take care of some things, but, you know, the death of Yvonne Craig.
Yes.
Batgirl, you know, and it always strikes me when something like this happens and how people are remembered, and you know, no matter how fondly someone is remembered for a particular role, it's always important to me to realize just how much more than that they were. I mean, you look at her credits, and she worked with giants in this business, in film and television, and it's also a cautionary tale because sadly, you know, she all but retired by 50 because there just weren't good roles for her anymore. And I also actually feel sort of optimistic that we are entering an age, or maybe even in an age, where actresses at 50 are just getting started.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
And it's sad that, you know, someone like her, of her talent, and not just talent, I mean, she was so uniquely entertaining. You know, nowadays, if somebody cast a Batgirl, I don't know who is doing it in the
Alicia
movie
Silverstone, obviously.
Well, she did it in one movie. I would imagine maybe they're introducing a Batgirl for the new DC universe. And, you know, it'll be someone pretty. It'll be a face. It'll be, you know, like the Joker that's playing, well, that's a different character altogether, but like the mannequin who stars in the new Man from U.N.C.L.E. and who plays Man of Steel, you know, instead of getting an actor. And the thing about, like, Yvonne Craig was...
Do not diss Henry Cavill. I already said in the first part of the program,
he flew the
flag for Jersey. He was fine as Napoleon Solo, and you should give Man of Steel
fine.
Another chance.
That's a great review. And next week, when we're discussing people who are in the Where Are They Now column, you can remind me of that. But Yvonne Craig, you know, only lovely as the day is long, but she was so unique and odd and kooky, and she brought all of this to her roles, not the least of which, of course, was in two feature film versions of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. starring the original
Indeed,
cast.
Exactly.
And so I just, you know, urge everyone, if all they know is Batman, seek out some of her other work, because...
Don't forget Whom Gods Destroy.
You know, one of these performers who was just in and of themselves uniquely entertaining, and she always connected that to this wide array of characters that she played.
Starsky and Hutch, The $6 Million Man, Emergency, Kojak, Mannix, Love American Style. What a great show that was. Land of the Giants.
What about two Elvis classics? Two Elvis
exactly.
movies, for crying out loud.
And Mars Needs Women.
It does.
Classic. 1967. Probably to be featured on the Stone Tapes in future months.
Oh, there's an idea.
Yes.
It doesn't.
Yes.
Sounds
yes.
very likely.
Mars doesn't need women, apparently, if you've been looking at the footage.
Well, yeah.
No.
From
no.
Mars, what do we think of the ghost lady?
Yes, yeah. Is it a crab or is it a human being? Is it both? I don't know.
Doesn't need women or giant spiders.
No, precisely. It's all sorted through.
Wait,
there.
did you just describe me? Is it a crab or is it a human being? Well, sometimes. Yeah.
It's your coffee, new... after coffee.
Exactly. It's just a different sort of perspective, really. But yes, certainly Yvonne Craig. We would be remiss if we didn't actually give a little tribute to her. And sadly, her career sort of came to an end just as these shows were starting. Never mind. Otherwise. You know, someday we'll be sort of our way through that. Christy,
it would have been lovely if you could have had her on your show.
Yeah, well, she was on our list. She had been recommended by a few sort of folk, which we never quite sort of managed to connect in various sort of things. However, life continues. Let's hope different things will emerge with Linda Thorson. But still, that's a different line entirely. Patricia, do you want to have a few words with Phil, a fellow American across the pond? You know, now you're living here and working in England. Phil, yeah. Obviously Norwegian-based, and wasn't The Saboteurs a classic example of Nordic noir? But you might like to sort of take any other sort of line along, including Gearheart Steampunk Magazine.
Yes, that's my magazine. I'm having words with you now. Hi.
Hi. I love people having words with me.
Exactly.
Quite often, actually.
I usually have polite words with people, however.
Yeah, well, there we are. That's Patricia's Gearheart, Patricia H. Asher's latest sort of chat there.
Well, you didn't mention the elephant in the room, which is that I always said that when I turned 50, and I'm not going to say how old I am, but if you can do math, which means you're probably not a product of American school system, you can figure out how old I am because I'm exactly twice as chronologically enhanced as Mo Pitney. But when I turned 50, I always said I was going to give myself over entirely to steampunk as a regular look all day, every day. And then at 60, of course, I'm going to give myself over to wizard wear. But
excellent plan. Steampunk is a style that suits that suits the older generation. I steampunked my mother. That's going to be an article appearing in my magazine.
Steampunked your mother.
I did.
Okay. I think it suits everyone, all ages. Yeah. That's the wonderful thing.
Well, were you going to get yourself a bowler, Phil?
I have a bowler.
Right?
Don't kid yourself. Come on now.
You have a bowler.
I mean, what am I, a farmer? Of course I have a bowler.
Funny you should say that, because if you were in Britain, of course, people who were in agriculture who wore bowler hats would be in the beef industry, and they'd be yes. cattle stewards at shows like the Great Yorkshire Show and the Lincolnshire Show.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually saying,
wow.
What am I, a farmer? You know, there's a line there in which culturally, well, yes, actually, if you've got a bowler, you really should be. You know?
That's really interesting, actually, because I've seen those guys at Borough Market.
Yes.
They have a stall there, and they do the lamb.
And it shows that they're officially recognised as being
brown boas.
Yep, exactly. Yes. And that's part of the whole sort of uniform.
This is fascinating. I've been wondering, Alex, because, you know, we've been talking that we should really do, Alex, you and I, a link up where we do an hour conversation, maybe do half of it on my show, half of it on yours. Mm-hmm. Well, this would be it, right? We'll talk about what hats mean in our respective countries.
Jervis Tetch, the Mad Hatter. Oh, it's another Batman reference once again. Outrageous.
But no, this is the reason that I want to kind of do this, because I think it's really interesting, Alex, that you, of course, a student of American culture by occupation. Myself a student, I like to think of culture of the UK by avocation. And yet, wow, that I just learned about the fact that I don't want to wear a bowler when I'm in the UK. So that's fascinating.
Whereas flat caps, of course, marvellously modelled by Army Hammer as Ilya Kuryakin in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Yes, I liked it. I'll say that. You know, just as
not only do I have a bowler, though, by the way, I have several pairs of goggles with incredible accessories.
Patricia's just brought out a classic Donny Osmond cap from the 1970s, or Lech Wałęsa from the early 80s in Poland. David is modelling a Tommy Cooper-style fez, or Matt Smith-esque fez for Arabic fans, or particularly Egyptians. It's great here. If we had the Steam camera on, we'd be too hot, really. That's the whole thing. And with Patricia being already hot enough for the whole thing, it's just, you know, we can't wait to do that. Phil, time is getting on. Would you like Sam to make a selection between 2 and 27?
I would like to use Time is Getting On as the name of my memoirs, actually, if you don't mind.
I think that works.
That said, have we done 2 in a while? I don't feel like we've done 2.
No, let's go for 2. Sam, happy with 2?
Yes, I don't know.
However long it takes, however difficult it seems, or however lonely you may become, remember, you live in a dream world where everything can change in an instant, especially when you've been visualizing. Love, love, the universe. P.S. And especially when you know the universe.
There you go.
Oh.
Deep stuff to wrap up.
I love the wisdom of the universe. I always feel a little bit assaulted when the universe gets overly touchy and affectionate with me.
It's okay.
You know, love, it's, you know, universe, it's not always wanted. Let me just put it that way.
Okay. Eva MacDonald, have you enjoyed the production today?
I have indeed. It's been very good.
Would you like to ask those last two questions to Phil Leonis, please?
Phil, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Oh, it's been interesting. Yes. Not the only word that I would use to describe it, but interesting is one of them. Yes.
And will we be hearing again from you soon?
As always, I will stay on the line afterwards and continue to ask and answer questions for several hours hereafter.
Were we not recording the Stone tapes, which you can listen to live, all being well, tomorrow? Well, listen live after, but you can listen to it. It should be out tomorrow anyway. Stone tapes volume 4, we would do just that. But shows moving on, all sorts of things are happening. Electric Light Orchestra is set and ready to go. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Mo Pitney, Arthur Weingarten, Gwyneth Flanagan, Liz Brewer, Emma Tinson, and Phil Leonis. Patricia, have you enjoyed the programme?
I have. This has been wonderful.
Good. David.
It's been awesome, as always, Alex. Awesome.
Sam.
Fantastic, as always.
When can people see you in person in Lincoln?
They can see me on the 30th of August at 1 o'clock at the Linden Bookstore, and also the panel at White Hart, and lots and lots of things I'm doing for the Steampunk Convention. Yay. As well all weekend. So I'll be very busy. I'll be in Lincoln all weekend.
Christy. Okay.
I'm good, thank you, Alex.
Excellent. That's it. We're out of here. Christy Bond, Eva MacDonald, Sam Stone, David J. Howe, and Patricia H. Ash. H stands for amazing. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I see a tear in your eye. That's all I-